Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with John Couch. John's engineering and producing the show, and together we welcome you to the program. Tuesday, February 23rd, 2021, as we are in our 11th year right here on the radio in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio on 1030 Tucson's Voice for Trusted News Talk. We have our worldwide live listening. That means you can hear the program live anywhere in the world by going to buckmastershow.com and or kvoi.com. Also at buckmastershow.com, all of our podcasts put up within hours of the conclusion of the program, and we have an archive that goes back over 10 years. So pretty good stuff there. The Buckmaster Show Live Line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Speaking of the live line, let's go now to the state capitol. State Representative Andres Cano, Democrat representing District 3, has stepped away from the floor of the House to a quiet location, if that is possible, on a very busy day at the House of Representatives. Andres, how are you?
Hi, Bill. It's so good to be with you, and happy Tuesday. I can't believe we're almost in March.
I can't believe it either, and you do sound good. It's a very busy day at the state capitol. Let's begin with an item that was on the front page of the Arizona Daily Star. The House passed. There were really only three dissenters on this bill for four-year community college degrees. Some of your thoughts on this. This would change higher education in the state of Arizona in a big way, Andres.
Sure. Well, the bill that you are mentioning still has to go before the entire House floor for a full vote. It's an ability for community colleges to offer four-year baccalaureate degrees, and I'll tell you, on principle, I'm in support of this bill. I just wish ultimately that we would take a look at the entire financial picture with a near $2 billion surplus in the state's coffers to actually be able to fund direct appropriations to our community colleges. You and I have talked about this before, Bill, but since 2015, the state's two largest community colleges, Maricopa and Pima Community College, have received $0 in support from ongoing budget numbers. And so I think, I'm going to be supportive of any effort to help the pandemic recovery and to help lift up families. This is one part of the solution. But I wish we don't just look the other way when we talk about the inequity and the funding structure for our community colleges.
Have we not restored full funding to our community colleges?
We haven't, and that's been why for 3 years now, I'm a second-term legislator, I've introduced legislation that would take us back to restoration of funding to Pima specifically. Look, I have three community college campuses in my district, and I think ultimately when we're talking about workforce development, career readiness, the business community is telling us by and large that we need to invest in our working families. But for some reason, the governor and this GOP legislature just doesn't want to fund our community colleges. So, you have to read between the headlines, Bill, because on one hand, looks like a great headline this morning on the Arizona Daily Star. There's just other ways to ensure that we're there for Arizonans when they need us most.
So, again, you're saying this isn't even on the radar this session as far as full funding being restored?
No. Instead, what we say, is community colleges, you're out on your own, finance your buildings, and ultimately be able to do what you do best, which is train our workforce. But you're going to do it, by the way, with $0 in investment from the legislature. I just think that's backwards thinking, Bill.
Well, we had an interesting hour on Friday with Luigi Del Puerto, the Arizona Capital Times, and J.D. Mesnard, Senator Mesnard, and the Republican senator. And we went round and round on this rainy day fund. Republicans are insisting, Andres, that there be tax cuts this session, and it just doesn't seem like this should be the year for tax cuts when we've got these COVID issues and all this money in the rainy day fund. What is a rainy day fund for if this past year that we have had is not a rainy day?
Well, and it's raining, it's storming, and Arizonans' number one issue that they want from their legislature, the folks that they sent to represent them at the state capitol, is COVID-19 relief. And instead, I find great concern that the governor and the Senate president and Speaker of the House are continuing with business as usual, wanting to prioritize the bills that we were reviewing last year because, you know, of course, the pandemic halted those proposed legislations from moving forward. So we're back. But, you know, why aren't we talking about the hundreds of Arizonans who every day are getting eviction notices because they can't pay their rent or they're about to lose their home and go into foreclosure? I mean, these are real issues that are still at the top of our priority list. And if it weren't for federal COVID-19 relief dollars, I think our state's budget would be completely different. And instead, you know, we're complaining about Washington pork benefiting from it because our state's finances are okay, and yet still refusing to invest in the quality programs like unemployment insurance and increase to those benefits, rent and mortgage relief, and ultimately quality health care for all Arizonans.
I know you've been very concerned that Hispanics are being left behind in this vaccine rollout. Would you address that briefly for us?
Sure. Well, I'm the chair of the Latino Caucus now, Bill, and that allows me to have a unique understanding with my colleagues who represent Latino majority districts. And it's a tremendous problem that of the 1.5 million doses that have been administered throughout the state, fewer than 10% of those total doses have gone into the arms of our Latinos in Arizona. And if you look across all the communities of color, fewer than 20% of those 1.5 million have actually gone to our communities that have been vastly affected by the pandemic. I mean, if there's ever an opportunity for us to recognize the racial disparities in our healthcare system, the fact that communities of color make up the majority of our essential workers, they're the people making your food at the restaurant and absolutely putting themselves in harm's way every single day to keep our economy going. And those vaccines need to be in equitably dispersed. And that's what a letter to the governor that I wrote last week addresses. There's ways to do this by trusting in our nonprofits, our medical providers, and our local jurisdictions to be able to help us with the vaccine distribution.
And it's been just for people not only of Hispanic and Blacks, but all people, this rollout has been Andres Cano, so confusing. So many people being left behind, and many have just decided they're going to give up until it's widely available when they can walk into a CVS or Walgreens. It's really a shame the way this rollout has been handled.
It really is, Bill. I am proud of our local partners, especially at Pima County, for doing the most that they can with the most extraordinary of circumstances. I don't believe that Governor Ducey has properly allocated enough doses to Pima County. In fact, just last week, we had a joint mayor and Board of Supervisors meeting to discuss whether we could even continue COVID-19 testing in Pima County. And by the way, we also were cut for the second week in a row in our total allotment of doses. And so our local leaders came together and said, you know, what gives, Governor Ducey? And thankfully, the governor has now retracted some of his original positions. But, you know, Pima County has the second largest population in the state of Arizona. We are doing a good job of rolling out the vaccines that we have available. And I'll continue holding this governor accountable as he continues to shortchange constituents in southern Arizona. I don't get it.
This session could go long, couldn't it? I mean, there's a lot of issues here that need to be discussed.
Well, and I think there's a lot of issues that we still haven't even discussed, Bill. We're, like I said, talking about tax cuts. We're talking about business liability. None of the things that ultimately, I think, are focused on direct support and relief. We have over that $1 billion in the Rainy Day Fund. The governor is still holding on to $300 million to be able to support Arizonans needing direct assistance. And I think instead, you know, he's sitting in an ivory tower holding on to this money. And I think Arizonans should be asking why.
All right, Andres Cano, we will let you get back to this session. A very busy day up at the Capitol. We'll check in with you in the coming weeks. Thank you, Andres.
Thank you, Bill. It's so good to be with you. See you very soon.
Thanks very much. Andres Cano, District 3 Democrat at the State Arizona House of Representatives. All right, now I want to tell you about a place that you can get some great comfort food. And who doesn't need that right now? That's Mona's Danish Bakery. During these very trying times, Mona's has been there for you, offering not only they are the home of the Danish Kringle, but some really beautiful pastries. Of course, if you're a fan of the program, you know I've been talking a lot about cinnamon rolls and some of the cinnamon rolls that we purchased on Saturday. I had the remaining one of the remaining ones today, and 5 to 6 seconds in the microwave, that's all it needs, and it was just like good as new, like it just came out of the oven. They're open right now, northeast corner Swan and Sunrise, and they open for breakfast at 6:30 at Mona's Danish Bakery. And also check out their website. You can call ahead or order via the website so your bakery goods will be ready for you. We'll be right back with Shelley Fishman in the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studios. Shelley just gave me a thumbs down. I know the day started off kind of on the downside for Wall Street. I guess it's still there. We'll find out right after this.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
If it can't be grown, then it must be mined. Cause without minerals, you never find your phones, your cars, your solar panels, or your smart TVs with your favorite channels. Hospitals, schools, and public facilities result from mining's vast abilities. Dividends, taxes, and high-paid employment come from mining for your enjoyment. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson. Tucson International Airport.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at VeroAmorePizza.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Shelley Fishman is a financial consultant in private practice in Tucson, Arizona. The views expressed during this segment are his own and don't necessarily represent those of this station or of Bill Buckmaster Communications. Contact Shelley through buckmastershow.com or at shelleyfishman.com.
And I'm going to contact Shelley Fishman right now, and it's very easy for me because Shelley is here with me in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. Shelley, how are you today?
I am well, Bill. How are you doing?
Doing very well. Thank you for asking. We've talked over the, couple of weeks now, it's come up, this issue of inflation, and it's almost like you can find someone who's going to agree with you on this subject.
Well, yeah, you know, it's
some are saying, oh my goodness, the big package coming out of Washington means we're going to pay the price. Others say, not, maybe not.
Well, of course, it has something to do with your party affiliation, and it has something to do...
I think so.
Yeah, it also has something to do with whether you're evidence-based or superstition-based.
Okay.
Clearly, there is some point at which an excess of government spending is going to overheat the economy, and that overheated economy is going to cause interest rates and prices to go up. The problem is, that's a great theory, except since, let's say 1982, we have no evidence that that happens anymore. In that period of time, we've had inflation at around 2%. That is the Fed's target for inflation, and they have been able to maintain it almost uniformly. In fact, during the end of the 1990s, when the economy was really doing very, very well, then Fed Chair Greenspan, who is an arch conservative, at the end of the day, he's a libertarian, kept on warning about inflation and raising interest rates. There never was any inflation. Of course, he'll probably say, it's because I raised interest rates. But ultimately, those actions precipitated the stock market crash of 2000. So you got to be really careful here. The market is beginning to view the propensity of this new administration to deficit spend with some alarm. Even though, big houses like Goldman Sachs are saying nothing to worry about, you do have some people saying, well, wait a second, there's a lot we don't know here. And if we heat this economy up, too quickly, a couple of things could happen. Number one, we could begin to see interest rates go up. And number two, we could begin to see a propensity on the part of people who have saved money that money is now, kind of waiting to be spent. If interest rates start going up, some of that money will be invested instead. And so there's some caution in the markets right now that, they are backing off a little bit. In addition, and this is something you and I have talked about literally for years, but certainly in the past year or two, the market is overpriced. Based upon historical norms, the Dow, for instance, is at like 23 times earnings. When the reduction curve would indicate that it should be at around 18 times earnings. So we've got a 5-point swing there, and that could bring the market down several thousand points if we were to come down all the way to a PDE of about 18. The NASDAQ is priced over 30 times earnings.
Really?
And so you've seen a lot of caution. Mm-hmm. Some people would call it panic selling.
The last couple of days.
In the NASDAQ.
Which is, of course, high tech heavy, as they like to say.
So yeah. a lot of things are working against the NASDAQ right now. But what we're seeing is not officially a correction. But I do see that this market, at least, which is forward-looking, it's not the economy, it's a forward-looking view at how companies are going to perform over the next 8 or 10 years, that there's some caution and wariness. And keep in mind, November was one of the best markets in 30 years. December was right on its heels.
Mm-hmm.
January wasn't bad, and February is now kind of flat. But this has been a market that's very optimistic about what 70% of the population is saying. We want to see this $2 trillion stimulus plan.
Let me ask you, Shelley, you know, people worry about the $2 trillion stimulus as creating something of inflation like we, I don't know, like we saw maybe in the late 70s. What's different about that when there were the gas lines and just inflation was, it was out of sight?
Keep in mind, we were coming off of a war.
Right, and the Vietnam War.
Exactly, yeah. And it was the guns and butter policy.
Okay.
We had an administration enmeshed in just a mess of impeachment and corruption in the Nixon administration. There was not a lot of faith in the Ford administration when it came in.
Right.
Ford tried to do the things that he needed to do to correct things, and he made a lot of progress. The market liked what Ford was doing. And then Carter came in. We had the Iranian crisis. We had the oil crisis. And so going into 1980 and the first Reagan administration, we saw what was, for this country, terribly high inflation. What would you guess it was?
A number keeps coming up in my mind, 28%.
27%. No.
What?
7.
It was 7?
It was 7%. We were panicking over 7%
inflation. I thought you were saying,
inflation.
No, Bill, it's 27%. No. I mean,
no,
I thought
you,
it was...
If you had a 5% mortgage and then you went to buy a house or refinance and it was 2 or 3% higher, I remember when I got my first mortgage in 1970... No, maybe it was 83. That mortgage, when I first applied, was 11%, came down to 9%. That's pretty high.
Yeah.
Compared to today's mortgages at 3%.
Well, I don't know why I was thinking 20-something. Maybe it was prices of oil were crazy.
Well, the prices
the
of
gas
oil
line.
Went crazy, absolutely.
Yeah. I remember the gas lines and the rationing. I was living in California at the time, and you had to, every other day, depending on your license plate, you could get gas if it was even or odd or whatever
but
it was.
But we have not had the kind of inflation that was experienced, say, by Germany between the world wars, or by Argentina when they devalued the peso. We're not wheeling wheelbarrows full of dollar notes, to the store to buy a loaf of bread. That's not happened. It has not happened in this country ever. So some of the cautions are really more to do with classical economic theory and the fact that not only are we worried about the economy heating up too much, but people are very worried, and I think this is an appropriate concern, about all of the debt that or deficit spending that we're doing, which is kind of okay if the economy is growing at 3% and inflation is down at 2% and the interest rates are down at 1%. Borrowing this money is okay because it's easy to pay back.
Mm-hmm.
But if interest rates go up to 3 or 4% and the debt that we have to pay back begins to be at around the same rate as GDP growth, then it gets more difficult to do. And, theoretically, the only way you can pay those bills is to print money.
Mm-hmm.
And the minute you're printing money, historically, that has been inflationary or put inflationary pressures on the economy. So the markets today are kind of reacting to that. That plus some of the turmoil and conflicting opinions about how quickly the economy is going to recover from the COVID pandemic, and the idea that this administration is absolutely devoted to the idea that government has a role in fixing problems, and that role is going to cost money. So in some cases, there'll be tax increases, but in others, there'll just be deficit spending. I mean, this is $2 trillion of what's essentially $1.5 trillion worth of stimulus for COVID, but we also have an infrastructure bill coming up. We've got Mr. Connor was talking about four-year degrees
community
at community colleges, which is very interesting. But we have significant pressure. to begin to reduce the cost of community colleges and make them free, mm-hmm. as they were when I was going to school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you had city colleges and you had state universities that were essentially free.
In the New York City area, you did not pay for your college education?
Absolutely. If you were a matriculated student, it was free.
Wow.
In California, the state university system, it was free if you were a resident.
That change?
Well, that's another subject.
I guess so,
It changed in the 60s with mm-hmm. open enrollment mm-hmm. and the fact that it was very difficult to conceive of education for all of these people for free.
Mm-hmm.
And so people started paying for, you know, charging tuition, and the whole thing kind of steamrolled. It's a very interesting discussion, something that, you know, you might want to have with some of your education people.
Yeah, and then the student debt thing started.
And, of course, because nobody could afford it.
Big time, I mean, huge.
But my guess is in the 50s, even here in Arizona, tuition at the state universities and community colleges
were virtually free. All right. Shelley Fishman, always a pleasure. Thank you very much. Have a great week. See you next Tuesday.
You too, Bill.
Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show Tuesday edition in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Green Things, our go-to place for some amazing plants over at 3384 East River Road. They open early, and they open. They're open daily. They're open around 7 o'clock in the morning. Go by Green Things, their website, greenthingsaz.com. Not only amazing plants, they've got some great trees, annuals, you name it, some beautiful things for your garden. And, of course, Zocalo Village, the great merchandise, much of it handmade from handmade furniture from Mexico and Latin America. You can check out that inventory by going to ZocaloVillage.com. Both Zocalo Village and Green Things ready to serve you now in their 51st year. The Buckmaster Show Live Line is presented by our friends over at Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line to Courtney Sloniker. Courtney is the executive director for the American Southern Arizona chapter of the Red Cross, and she's with us on the live line. How are you, Courtney?
Hey, Bill, doing great. How are you today?
Doing well. Thank you for asking. There is a very, very critical need right now, and I want you to tell our listeners about it. The Red Cross of Southern Arizona is in dire need of volunteers. It's all because of the pandemic, I understand.
Yes, Bill. Thank you so much for bringing that up. 90% of our workforce here in Southern Arizona and really across the country are volunteers. These are people that contribute a ton of time to make our mission possible. And we have seen a huge decrease in volunteerism for different reasons. The pandemic has challenged us all in different ways. However, here at the Red Cross, there's simply some services we can't provide virtually, and we need that critical volunteer support to ensure that families that have just lost a home from a home fire have someone to respond to them and give them the assistance they need, or we need volunteers to help with blood drives. So we've seen a large decrease. I know a lot of other agencies have experienced the same thing, but what we're asking folks is to, if they have the time, we're taking all the precautions necessary to prevent the spread of COVID-19, from enhanced disinfecting procedures to PPE that we provide to you, as well as temperature screenings and all of those things to, again, protect the workforce, because without them, we can't deliver the mission, and, of course, protect the clients we serve as well. One of the major critical needs right now is actually in our blood space. Our volunteers help staff every single blood drive here in Southern Arizona. We have volunteers at our donation centers, and we have volunteers at all of those mobile blood drives. And those volunteers really help us manage the flow of the blood drive. They get the donors checked in, and they're really that first point of contact that our donors have. And it's critical that that person is taking care of those donors so that those people come back and continue to meet that need for blood. So we're asking folks, if you have the time, if you're looking for a safe way, you know, to give back to your community, we're taking all those precautions to protect you and protect our clientele. We could really use your support right now.
And where would someone sign up? And is it a lengthy process and involved to sign up?
Great question, Bill. So if you are interested in signing up to be a volunteer, there's a few ways. You can just simply go to redcross.org. and apply to be a volunteer. There is a short application process, so it might take you just a few minutes to get in the system, and then you'll be contacted by one of our local representatives here to get you through the full application process. Not too cumbersome, we're here to walk you through it. Or if you don't have access to a computer maybe at this time, you can call 1-800-RED-CROSS and they can get you set up to volunteer with us if you're interested. We'd absolutely love to hear from you. There's a lot of different opportunities in volunteering with us. So if you find something that you really like or maybe you don't, we can look at other areas where you can contribute, feel valued, and really make an impact in the community. So again, you can go to redcross.org and apply to be a volunteer, or call us 1-800-RED-CROSS and we'll get you connected to sign up and join our team of incredible people that donate their time.
And this is so important right now, especially, Courtney, because a lot of the hospitals put elective surgeries, elective is kind of a word that in when it comes to a surgery, somebody really needs the surgery, but maybe not, it's not an emergency, but still it's very important. And hospitals now, and thank goodness, the case rate with COVID is going down. Hospitalization rate from COVID is going down. Hospitals are once again doing elective surgeries. That means there will be a need for blood big time.
Absolutely, Bill. I couldn't have said it better. In addition, many of you have probably seen the winter storms that have been impacting our neighbors, you know, in Texas and Tennessee and really across the country with the wintry blast that hit so many communities. We saw 21,000 blood and platelet and plasma donations impacted across 30 states because of the winter storms. Blood drives had to cancel. I mean, as you can imagine, if you can barely get out of your home and you don't have power, there's no way we can collect blood in those conditions. So couple that with the pandemic and with elective surgeries coming back on, we certainly don't want to see a blood shortage. So having those volunteers out there supporting us, having the donors come out, especially here in Southern Arizona where we're enjoying some 80 degree weather, during the day, we would be so grateful. We're a part of a national blood bank. So once our local needs are met here in Southern Arizona, you know, your blood could potentially save someone's life in another state that doesn't have the ability to collect blood right now because they're facing a disaster like Texas is facing and many of our neighboring communities. So absolutely critical. It's a 24/7, 365 operation. Every 2 seconds, someone in the U.S. needs a blood product. So if you can imagine how many blood drives we're having to host, daily, and how much we need support from the volunteers, it's critical so that we can help those patients that are relying on us for those blood products.
Where can you find out, or where can our listeners find out about where they can donate blood right now, Courtney?
Great. Same website. If you go to redcross.org, you can actually type in your zip code and find a blood drive that's closest to you. We want to make sure that the donation process is as easy and efficient as possible for you. So if you go to redcross.org, type in your zip code, it'll pull up all the blood drives that are going to be close to you. In addition, you can call 1-800-RED-CROSS and book an appointment that way. Or if you have a smartphone or an iPad or one of those devices, you can download the Red Cross Blood app and you can actually book your appointment on there. It's pretty simple. Again, you use your zip code to book an appointment, but those are different ways that you can sign up to donate blood. Or again, if you want to sign up to be a volunteer, go to redcross.org and hit apply to be a volunteer, and we'll get you on our team.
Can you donate blood if you have had COVID or have tested positive? Has screening changed at all, Courtney?
Yeah, so the screening for COVID has changed. The FDA does set those regulations for deferrals. But many of our donors have had COVID before. They had a verified diagnosis, and they were actually eligible to donate convalescent plasma, which is great. That's a different product that we're able to use as a potentially life-saving treatment for currently critically ill COVID patients. So if you've had a verified diagnosis of COVID-19, there is still opportunities for you to impact lives. We still are testing all of our blood donations for COVID-19 antibodies. So many of our donors, about 3 to 4% have tested positive across the country. That's over 2 million donations that have been tested. So the answer is yes, you can donate. We may be reaching out to you if you do have a verified diagnosis or have COVID-19 antibodies present to enroll you to be a convalescent plasma donor. The other question that's been coming up lately, Bill, is, hey, I'm going to get the vaccine. Can I still donate blood? And there are different deferrals that the FDA set for that. So if you've received a Moderna or Pfizer vaccine, there really isn't a deferral period at this point. We want you to be healthy and feeling great after your second dose. So if you get that second dose and you're maybe experiencing some reactions or something like that, we're asking you to wait until you feel great and you're ready to donate. If you received a different type of vaccine, like the AstraZeneca or the Johnson & Johnson, there is a 2 to 4 week deferral period, depending on which one you received. As well as if you don't know which one you received, then we're asking you to just wait 4 weeks after that second dose before you can donate again. So there's no concern right now. You know, if you've gotten the vaccine, you can still be a blood donor and save people's lives. You might just have to wait a few weeks depending on which vaccine you received and to make sure you're feeling healthy the day of your donation.
All right, Courtney Sloniker, good information. What's going on with the Red Cross of Southern Arizona? And again, your website is?
redcross.org, or you can call 1-800-RED-CROSS and we'll be happy to take care of you, get you on our team, or answer any of those questions that you have about volunteering or donating. And if you have questions about our disaster response in relation to Texas and across the country with all these winter storms, please give us a call. If you know people are in need, you have family or friends in those hard-hit areas, please let them know they can call 1-800-RED-CROSS and we'll connect them with resources.
Thank you very much, Courtney. Have a great day.
Thanks, Bill. Always great to be on.
Thanks a lot. Courtney Sloniker, Executive Director of the Red Cross of Southern Arizona. It's Buckmaster in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios. Be right back.
Reed Park Zoo is now open for wildlife walks, a modified guest experience, prioritizing social distancing and safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reedparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures that your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals. They're waiting to welcome you back to the Reed Park Zoo. The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. This portion of the program presented by our friends over in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Over the years, we have sent so many of our listeners to this beautiful area of the Land of Enchantment. The day is coming when once again, New Mexico will be open to out-of-state visitors. You can start your planning now, though, by going to southwestnewmexico.org. You'll find all sorts of great activities like hiking in the Gila National Wilderness and visiting the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument, plus some great places to stay in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Time for our Tucson Tourism Report with Dan Gibson of Visit Tucson. Dan is with us now on the live line, which is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Dan, how is your day going so far?
So far, okay. Yeah, no real complaints. You know, lots of Zoom, much Zoom.
Are you doing any meetings now in person with people at Visit Tucson?
Not particularly. I mean, there's some there's small meetings. For what we're doing in PR, it's still all very virtual. We sent out gift boxes to like the sort of top 15 journalists we're trying to reach last week, you know, with a variety of Tucson items in them to sort of like remind people that we're here and that we want them and things like that. And so, I mean, it's still very much this very virtual heavy thing. The meeting with people in person is still a little bit off, but it's more on the horizon by all means. We're starting to see journalists say, like, I'm ready to travel. So, you know, those are people who got vaccinated for some reason or another. And so you're starting to see some of those journalists come through and say, like, oh, I'm ready to go right now.
This is the first time we've really talked tourism with you on the program in about 2 months. Normally, Dan, we would be talking about the height of the Tucson tourism season. Normally, this would be rodeo week, I believe.
Yeah.
This is the the first time we've not had a rodeo here. I'm not quite sure. There might have been a year during World War II when there was no rodeo, but I mean for decades, it's always been in February, rodeo week, and of course, this would have been coming off the Gem Show and all of our activities. So where are we right now? Are we slowly starting to gear up?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what you're seeing is that, especially at, there's sort of two things happening at once, right? Is the traveler getting vaccinated and then people feeling comfortable with the number of vaccinations happening in Tucson, right? So there's sort of two things happening at the same time. I think other municipalities and regions seem to be a little bit further down the sort of the 1B list or 1C and all that stuff. And so you're seeing that, you know, there is that built up anticipation. Tucson and Pima County are plugging along, right? There's obviously some challenges there. And so there's sort of two things happening at once, right? You want people to come, but you also want them to experience a destination that has a lot of things for them. Restaurants are still a little bit of a challenge, right? There aren't the number of places that have indoor dining is limited. It's still a great time of year to be outside, which is definitely an advantage for us. But, you know, we're still working on the drive market. And this is what hasn't really changed in the last 2 months, really, is it's still very much like we're trying to reach Phoenix, we're trying to reach other places people can drive from. It's starting on that sense, and still we're waiting for that next explosion to sort of go out to say, like, okay, great, like, you're in Chicago, you should come here, you'll love it, like, it's a really good time to be here. And that hasn't quite happened yet.
Airlines are now showing, I know Southwest looks like their bookings look very, very good. Not, you wouldn't call them strong for the late spring and summer season. I think what's happening, Dan, and correct me if I'm wrong, people are getting the shot and they're feeling a little more comfortable. You know, if they get both shots or if they get the Johnson & Johnson one shot, there's a lot of pent up demand for people wanting to get away?
Oh, by all means, right? I mean, that the demand isn't the problem by any stretch of the imagination, right? There's sort of, you know, I mean, like, I think, you know, you're in the same boat that I am, right? It's like, when can I go somewhere?
Right.
Like, you know, it's like, Tara and I were looking, we're like, when do we think we're going to get vaccinated? Okay, when would we book a trip immediately following that, right? That's
right.
Very much the
sure.
space that we're thinking at. And Tucson has done really well in having a lot of great press, a lot of great things happen in the sort of in the middle time, right? You know, that we're on Travel and Leisure as places to travel in 2021. And these, you know, a lot of like the press coverage and the positive things happening from that. So it really is just like this, like kind of hurry up and wait space. You know, I think 2021 will bounce back a little bit better than people might imagine. Things are haven't been quite. We've been in a really good position in a lot of ways. And I was talking to Dave Hatfield at the Tucson Airport Authority, right? And he's like, when he's talking to the airlines, they're like, you guys don't have it that bad. Like Tucson is doing relatively well by what the standards the airlines are looking at, because they haven't lost a ton of flights. They still have a pretty good amount of like 50% occupancy on most flights that are going out. So I mean, there's a lot of really positive signs. It's just been really tough to lose a lot of the things that you really distinctly sort of think about with Tucson, right? Like obviously the gem show and the very limited nature of that, and the push towards April. And like you said, the rodeo, even the Coligard Classic, which has started in the last couple of days and is in full effect this weekend, is, I think it's 200 people can go, you know, attendance, like for spectators of like 200 people. That's a loss. I mean, it's just, it's difficult to sort of think that through, that this is still happening. 2022 will look better, right? And then 2023 will look better from that. It's the progress of seeing a lot of events and a lot of demand. We're going to be a little poorly timed because the summer will be, you know, when a lot of people will be getting vaccines, and the summer will hit. And Tucson's a little bit of a challenge to sell in the summer. But by the fall, I think we're going to see a tourism season much earlier in an October and November that look a lot like the peak season. That might be my own naive belief, but just sort of things are coming together to look that way.
Yeah, and the way the timing of COVID, of course, I always look at the St. Patrick's Day of 2020. It was kind of the darkest day, because that's when everything seemed to really go south. And we had the book festival a couple of weeks before that had already decided they were not going to go forward. So this would be the second year of the book festival being virtual. So I think, Dan, a couple of our signature events, really two, we're looking at two seasons, aren't we, of delays to our signature events. I think that's kind of where we're at.
Yeah, I think, I mean, you know, I was thinking about Tucson Meet Yourself, right? And I'm like, oh, that could happen in October, right? Like that feels like that could be a thing. And and that's not a huge like destination driver, but it is sort of a thing that feels a lot like Tucson, right?
Yeah.
You know, and you're seeing these festivals and some of those things push into that time period. I think the strength of leisure is going to be really strong for us. It really is that weight on, I mean, I feel like I say this every time we talk, but it's just like, it's that weight on meetings. It's when meetings can happen, when people feel comfortable being in a group of 50, 200, 500 or whatever, when that sort of safety happens, then you'll see really like hotels and resorts have the big bump come back up. And I think events sort of connect to that, right? Is that if people feel safe in those sort of large scale things, those will be outside primarily, but those things will kind of happen together. And so much of our tourism industry, the national, international tourism industry is based on those meetings. I'm starting to get invited to meetings that are happening in September and October.
Good.
And so there is that optimism that like, oh yeah, people will travel in September and be in a place with people, right?
Yeah.
Like that'll be good.
It will be.
And yeah, I'm looking forward for the business we're in, but I'm also looking forward to like, I can't believe I'm ever saying I'm looking forward to going to a conference, but like it's definitely happening.
Other people in the same room. Yep, that's something to look forward to. All right, Dan Gibson. There you go. Dan Gibson of Visit Tucson. Always a pleasure. Thanks, Dan.
Good to talk to you, Bill.
All right, Dan Gibson with us, and that's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. Coming up, Dave Ramsey, his very popular show, talking about money and the best way to navigate these very difficult times with your money. Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. Our guests appear on the live line courtesy Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Bill Buckmaster saying, have a great afternoon, everybody.